With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
What if this isn't a climate crisis, but the greatest opportunity humanity has had in a long time? Lean Into Clean will explore and discuss with highly esteemed guests on what could be the new spirals for society, sustainability, spirituality, and social harmony. Perhaps we've all lost our way. Lean Into Clean will showcase how we might remember, refocus and restore the natural ways so we can again live in balance and harmony with life on Earth and all its inhabitants. Welcome to this week's Lean Into Clean. I'm Jarvis Smith. This is UK Health Radio. How is everybody on this rather grey and dull Monday? I hope you're having a bit more fun than we have done up of late. It's been cold and wet and awful, but you know what? The snowdrops are out. The daffodils are coming up. There's a sniff of spring in the air. I did hear the birds singing yesterday, so that was quite nice. Do let us know if the birds are singing where you are. Don't hesitate to reach out to us. So, as always, I've got a wonderful, wonderful guest on the show today. I shall be introducing her, who actually is going to be really, really interesting to speak to. But before we do that, as you know, I always run a bit of a news piece that sits on our website, mygreenpod.com. We're all about sustainability and how you can live more purposefully and sustainable in your lifestyle. This is a story that we actually put out on January the 28th. So it was a couple of days ago. It's about microplastics. Now, many of you will know about microplastics. You will have heard about it on the news and various other places. But there was a national survey, and it finds that microplastic pollution around Britain's coastline, it actually could be double the levels previously recorded. So I'll just read a bit of this out just so you can be aware of it. A joint project between the University of Portsmouth and Great Britain Road Challenge has found microplastic pollution in the seas around Great Britain at significantly higher concentrations than previously recorded. So data collected during the summer of 2024 show an average concentration of 59 microplastic particles per cubic meter of seawater. So the equation is 59 MP/M3, which is essentially what we've just said. But this is more than double the levels reported in comparable surveys conducted in 22 and 23, which recorded averages of 23 and 20. So, you know, it's gone up a lot. And in some locations, concentrations were more than twice those previously measured, with the highest level 418 pieces per square meter. So, and that was recorded in the Irish Sea. That's actually the greatest concentration observed over the 3 years of monitoring. Now, that is massive. So researchers stress that the findings do not necessarily show a sudden deterioration in marine conditions. The differences in weather, sea state and sampling conditions between years may have influenced the results, potentially stirring up microplastics that would otherwise remain below the surface. There's a Professor Faye Cossiro, she's a School of Civil Engineering and Surveying and a member of the Revolution Plastics Institute at the University of Portsmouth. She said this: "This is a substantial change in what we're measuring, but it's important to be careful how we interpret it. Rougher seas and poorer weather in 2024 may have mixed microplastics more thoroughly through the water column, making them easier to detect. It's possible these concentrations have been there all along. So there isn't conclusive evidence yet, but the data was collected, as I said, also by the GB Row Challenge. It's a 2,000-mile rowing event circumnavigating Great Britain. Two teams of rowers gathered samples while at sea using specialist equipment to collect, study, collect data on the microplastics, temperature, noise pollution, and biodiversity. So if you want to find out a little bit more about that story, you can always go to mygreenpod.com. There's a search engine there. Anything you're interested in, from cycling, eating, running, cars, energy, the whole thing, you can go and get clued up at mygreenpod.com. That's I guess one of the most resourceful websites, even though we do it ourselves. We've been collecting information for the last 16 years, would you believe? So there's a lot of articles on there. So do go and check it out. Now, that brings me very nicely to today's guest. I'm just going to read a little bit about this lady that's joining us today. So that we're going to meet Sushitra Sivasankaran. I hope I've pronounced that correctly. Is the found? Did I get it right?
You did, like on point.
Great, great. So she is the founder and chief visionary officer of Inside and Out, which is her organization. Now, that's a mental fitness lifestyle brand redefining what success truly means. Now, at her heart, she was an engineer by trade, with a career spanning oil and gas, advanced analytics, and digital transformation. Now, her own burnout, I'm sure we can all relate to this, in 2019 became the inflection point that led to the purposeful launch of Inside and Out in 2023. Rejecting conventional narratives around mental health, Sushitra is building what she calls the Nike meets Vogue of mental fitness. I like that. We're going to get into that in a minute. Backed by science and drenched in wisdom, Inside and Out champions resilience, rest, and the discipline of inner hustle building, the emotional bank account. Like that. That's a lovely term. Inner hustle building, the emotional bank account, with the same intention as the financial one, which is outer hustle. She believes that sustainable success is impossible without emotional regulation, self-awareness, and inner capacity. Welcome to the show, Sushitra. Very, very nice. And thank you for joining us.
Oh, gosh. It's Jarvis. Yes, not Harvest.
And yeah, it is Jarvis. Yeah, I'm not the Spanish version.
Not the Spanish version. I'm so glad our paths crossed. I absolutely love everything you're doing, and I have so much respect because I've been looking through all of the content and the website. I'm super excited that I've gotten to find you and cross paths because of Inside and Out. Also, yeah. Thank you for that introduction. Thank you for having me here, and I can't wait for this incredible conversation to unfold.
Likewise, likewise. Well, I've also been, you know, stalking you, obviously, you know, checking out your Instagram account and reading stuff about you. I'm fascinated to hear about this, but let's just go back a little bit. Just tell me, when I read that bio out, obviously it's very much about, you know, your current kind of state of beingness, but just give me a little background. Where did you grow up? You know, where are you now? Because I know you're not recording from the UK. We're actually doing this live from somewhere else. So just give me a little bit of background and things that might be missing from that bio that you think we should know about you.
Absolutely. So I am ethnically, I'm Indian. I'm South Indian. I'm from a place in the south of India called Chennai. That's where I was born.
Nice.
And I grew up, I think my parents moved when I was maybe 1.5, 2 years old. So I grew up in Muscat in Oman, in a country in the Middle East called Oman. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I think it was one of those incredible childhoods that felt like you were in the Famous Five or Hardy Boys or Nancy Drew, if you've ever like read those.
Yeah.
That all kids grow up in. So it was a really nice, simple, very much immersed and nestled in nature. So that's really how most of my childhood was. And much later in my life, my parents or my dad, he got transferred to Dubai. And so I did like a little bit of schooling in Dubai and went off to then do my engineering at a university called the Indian Institute of Technology in a very remote town in India called Kharagpur. Mm-hmm. And like lame reference. It's where like the CEO of Google went to school. So it's one
Oh,
of those
wow.
difficult schools to get into, but then when
Yeah.
you're having the time of your life. And post that, I joined this oil and gas downstream midstream company called Schlumberger, or now known as SLB, which is the big blue. And honestly, I just transferred to different countries, took on really interesting roles with the same company for about 15 plus years, and largely spent them in tech. But that's really been my graph till now, and you know where I grew up, how all of this has culminated to where it is. And today I am located in Dubai, UAE, and this has been based since COVID. So it's been a
Yeah.
few years that I've been stationed in the UAE.
Thank you for that. Really, really insightful and very much appreciated. So let's just start with this thing you're calling a burnout. So 2019. Tell me a little bit about that. What was the experience? Why do you think it happened? And then we can get on to how it was a you know, really a wake-up call moment.
So, now that I kind of know how it all came to my knowledge or awareness through a diagnosis and things, just a little backstory prior to that, I think I was
Yeah.
already playing a lot of behavioral changes for about a year and a half prior to getting diagnosed to having been burned out or burning out, because I believe if I was diagnosed a bit later, then it seems like you walk into chronic fatigue or chronic stress, which is a different story altogether. But you know, I think I would say being South Asian, but I think it's probably across a lot of cultures. I think definitely being South Asian, you know, taking rest or slowing down or kind of not being this go 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 is considered somehow that you've sort of lost the plot of life, or you're a loser, or you know, you what are you doing just sitting and doing nothing? Like, that's always a comment I hear. My father being like that, it was very common in a South Asian culture and very common in a community that I came from,
Yeah.
where you're always on the go, you're supposed to be busy all the time, and if you're not, you're sort of somehow labeled as slow or lazy or a loser or
Yeah.
someone who's just gonna make it, you know, you're just not gonna get there. And add to that, like, there's still that dynamic of being a girl, and so you know, where exactly are you going to achieve with already being slow, and if you're not gonna be busy all the time, etc. So there's all that extra dynamic that comes with being a woman in a South Asian culture. And so I was very deeply wired to kind of participate in the hustle in a way of kind of suffering, like in the sense, in the outer world, you look like you're killing it, you're nailing it, but you're doing it at the cost of your well-being always.
Yeah.
Because well-being, what is that? Like, what does that even mean? That's irrelevant. Like, those are feelings, and nobody has time for feelings. So I technically was noticing a lot of behavioral changes in me. For example, I understand I'm an ambivert, but at some point I used to think I'm quite an extrovertish person. I love being around people. I enjoy taking energy from social settings where there is a lot of exchange of people's energies. And I found like I was shifting into a space where I wanted to be recluse. Like, I didn't
Yes.
really want to be around people, which was very alien to how I generally have been.
Mm.
And in that space, there was a lot of other shifts. I was feeling restless all the time. I would feel fatigued no matter how long I've taken rest. Like, let's say I did sleep for about 8 to 10 hours over a weekend, I would still feel like I've been hit by a truck and I kind of need something else to help me out. And then it shifted into things like, you know, if you had caffeine in the beginning or in the middle of the day, I would tend to feel like I'm having some sort of a panic state, but I would just think I'm dizzy and I would think I'm feeling like I'm gonna faint. And it sort of showed in many different ways, but I chose to ignore them because I somehow had an inner critic or an inner dialogue saying, like, what exhausted from, or like, isn't this the whole plot of life, or like, didn't you want to get to where you are? And at that point, I took on a really cutting edge role with Schlumberger, which was very interesting of sorts. It was very entrepreneurial or startup-ish with a R&D angle to it, and it felt like, you know, you're in the environment, safe environment of a Fortune 500 company, but you're doing something very cutting edge with AI and advanced analytics. And I was building those teams globally. So I had more inner voices saying that, isn't this what you like kind of came all this way for. Like, now you're going to be like, I don't feel fine, or I'm something is off, or I need to figure something out, or whatever. So I dumbed a lot of it. And I think, you know, the now that I have so much more knowledge, I would say, or awareness, your body is so intelligent that at some point you can suppress till you think it's fine. And then your body's like, yeah, I got other ways to show you. And it started to show physically, you know, where I would tend to find like I'm kind of feeling like I have a lower back pain and I have no idea where it came from, or I would have my eyes being constantly infected, or I would get the random flu every month, until it reached a space where I think when you're not switched on and you're not really aware of looking within, like it's just not a concept in your head. Physical illness is when people show up. So I was like, oh, I'm not feeling well. I must go to the doctor. Like, that's when I think I had the desire to say maybe something is not okay with me, because I thought it was my immunity. I thought it was like the transfer I'd made country-wise at that point. I was like, maybe I'm not like fitting the weather conditions here or whatever. So I went to a doctor and I got like the full body assessment, and there was nothing off. Like, all of the parameters were actually pretty good. It wasn't even like you're averaging or whatever. So I kind of, you know, opened up to say that I just don't feel like myself, and I kind of feel that I'm becoming like sort of a, you know, a bit of a like someone who doesn't want to acknowledge and share with people what I'm feeling, because I also feel like it's a bit cuckoo, like what's going on with me. I don't want to talk to people. I want to be alone quite a bit. I feel like when I express to someone close to me, like say my partner or my friends, that I'm feeling exhausted, the natural response is you need to stop working so hard, or take a break, or go on a vacation. And I tried all of those things, but I was still always feeling exhausted. And this of making newer decisions was always draining me. And the idea of like going to a recruitment fair, let's say we're recruiting data scientists at universities, that stuff would be buzzing and exciting for me. And here it's like, I'm like, I just, you know, need to wear like a bulletproof vest, face the day, go back and pass out. And so I found that no one was able to understand what I was feeling, and I wasn't able to articulate it with meaningful words or meaningful labels, though as much as I don't like the word, but I couldn't call it what I was feeling. So then I expressed this to the doctor, and then he recommended going to a functional doctor. And I think that's where everything changed. So I had like a full hormone panel test, and eventually it narrowed down to cortisol. And then we did like a 48-hour test to see how cortisol was fluctuating. And there was a clear indication that I'm sort of operating in a fight or flight zone because of how the extreme the spikes were. And I was told at that point, you know, that if you're not really practicing any form of mindfulness and maybe taking on, like, say, deeper ways, if you want to understand, you know, where this is coming from, why you're behaving this way, what does it mean to reflect, and things like that, say therapy, say coaching, whatever your modalities might be, then I could be chronically stressed. And I think for my logical, or me operating from my logical brain, that was the moment I chose to do something about it. And
Amazing, amazing. I mean, firstly, sorry to hear that, but I can guarantee there are going to be lots of people listening to this right now that will absolutely be able to relate to that. And it's very interesting that you went to a conventional doctor and then you were asked to go to an alternative doctor. That's exactly what this radio station's all about. It's UK Health Radio, which is looking at all the alternative ways of doing things, as well as conventional medicine. But let me, I think this is a perfect moment to stop. We're just going to very quickly go to a commercial break. We're going to come back and find out what you noticed and what you did about it. So brilliant. Don't go away. We'll be back with Sushitra very, very soon.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, let's get into this. So, Sushitra, you really just explained, The modalities of a burnout, the things that caused you stress, that got your cortisol levels at an unmanageable level, and so you had the wake up call, yeah. What
Yes.
was the first thing that went through your mind at that time? Like, did you recognize it as, okay, this is stress levels, but they're too high? What was your immediate kind of thinking around that?
I think, at that moment of being how I used to be, I think I was very driven by logicalizing everything. I think I don't really think I didn't dive into intuition or how we feel. I think even if I did, I sort of dumbed it down. So at that point, listening to it from a doctor and having someone who is qualified and science-backed telling you to your face that if you continue to operate the way you are, you're going to be chronically stressed. And then telling me what is chronic stress. And it's that if I asked you, do you want a cup of coffee or tea? You're going to be like, that's just too much to decide. You just decide, and then thinking of that becoming your way of life at for what
Wow.
reason? Because you've been hustling to be successful as society and your parenting and culture and every framework on the outside has dictated, and you're ticking off all these boxes, but your return gift is that you just might be chronically stressed, and that's going to be a very isolated experience because life is going to move on for everyone else, and you haven't even given a moment in that journey to get to know you. Like, what exactly drove you to this space? So I think that moment for that version of Suchi or Suchitra, I needed a doctor to probably tell me that because that's when I respected it.
Yeah.
And I think from that point on, I wouldn't say I had any answers, but I knew that I did not want that to become my reality. So I'm going to have to do something. And I kind of decided that because I don't know what I'm going to do, I'm really going to just dedicate a chapter to myself, and I'm going to call it Project Suchi because I've been in tech and I've built products my whole life. So
Yeah.
I'm going to look at myself as a product, and I really don't know where to begin, but I have tools and methodologies on how to build something from 0 to 100. So I'm like, I'm going to look at me in that space and say, if I lived to, like, I don't know, 60, 70, whatever, if I was privileged enough to live some more decades, I was like, I'd love to look back and say I dedicated one chapter in the book of Suchi to just getting to know me. So that was the pivot, to be honest, that diagnosis became the catalyst to me recognizing that I don't want to continue like this. I don't know how I've gotten here, but and I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I'm gonna pause.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So you really implemented your engineering
Yes.
foundation, and you were the product that you were engineering. I absolutely love that. It's brilliant. So encouraging to hear, because I think that what I'm hearing is that we all have opportunities in life to be able to live our true nature, right?
Yeah.
And we're born into a system that immediately rips us away from our true nature, because it's a system that's set up in service to, whatever it is, economics, politics, religion, whatever. And so you had that wake up call, which I love. I want to just mention some of these kind of taglines that you've used, the outer hustle. And
Yes.
you've talked about, the inner hustle. Just explain that to me. And what are the dangers of the outer hustle, just that you've recognized, that you could share with people?
I think one very basic one that I'm sure everyone would relate to, because I relate to it actively from my past life, is that I think there's this productivity is very deeply correlated to being busy all the
Yeah.
time. If
Yeah.
I'm busy all the time, then I'm someone very important. I'm thriving at life and I'm successful. There's a lot of that association. And then there's also the association that when you're financially very well-to-do, then you're successful. And what I've realized with the outer hustle is you can't, there's a lot of the dialogue that, the you don't want to, you don't practice the hustle culture anymore, you don't believe in the hustle. I kind of don't subscribe to that. What I think is the outer hustle is an external drive. It could be your purpose, it could be paying your bills, it could be You having a very tactical approach to your career, for example, and it's very necessary, one, in the world we live in, two, as human beings, I think you want to be driven towards something. And you may be in the pursuit of your purpose, but even through that journey, you want to be driven through something. You want to wake up for something. You want to be going to provide for something that's starting with you and then beyond you. Found that, success still is monetary, as in it is measured by your financial success. Great. And I don't want to take that away. And like I said, I don't want to take away the external hustle. But the tweak that I found is you don't want to be hustling on the outside at the cost of your inner well-being. Like, I'm not going to say yes to something anymore if I don't feel it's right for me, if I don't feel good, if I feel like right now I must actually take a breather and kind of reflect on what I've just done. Maybe I need to take a nap, or maybe I'm, not feeling creative. So I need to kind of pause and say, I'll come back on something, or I won't pick up this project, or I'll go take a nap, like something as simple as that. Or do a workout because that's what I need to ground and come back with more presence. That to me, that a self-awareness, I feel like that's when you're now your external hustle has meaning because you are doing it at the at you being well. You're not doing it at the cost of suffering for the win. You're winning still, but you're doing it whilst you're also winning internally. And that internal win for me is what I call an emotional bank account, and I call the inner hustle, because I feel that looking back on my journey, I think to get to know you, whatever that means for people, answering a who am I, and if it's not even that deep, but to spend a tiny pocket every day to reflect on how your day went, or if you felt that you were kind of running on like a cell phone battery, you're running on like under 20%, what is your ritual to reboot, to charge yourself? Like, what is that thing that you go to? If you're not practicing that with a sense of consistency towards self, it's not how many things am I doing and how much am I giving to that inner hustle, but prioritizing that and giving that dedication every day. That to me is a pursuit of the inner peace, which is what we're all claiming we want. So I find like success should now be just expanded. We've generally associated it with productivity being always busy and monetarily being successful. I think you should look at your productivity as also resting, as also rituals that ground you within. So add that to your schedule, to your calendar. And I think the success should be monetary and expanded to inner or emotional wealth as well.
Love that.
You build your financial bank account as you already do, as society has already dictated to us. But when you build your emotional bank account, you also start to understand financial wealth means what to you. Being rich means what? Maybe what Jarvis thinks is being rich is very different from what I think is being rich, but I'm never going to understand that if I don't go into the inner hustle as well. I'm going to aspire for what you are aspiring, and maybe that's not my blueprint. Maybe that's not what makes me feel successful, because once I get there, you then have other like gifts like burnout and depression and anxiety and emptiness and things that you didn't know were byproducts because you didn't check in. So that's what I mean by the outer and the inner hustle.
I love it. I love it. I use this line that, most people, certainly most people in the rat race that are doing exactly what you did, they're just very simply addicted to the outside world and forget about that inner world. And, if you come from, you're have Indian genes. My father was Indian, so I have that Eastern kind of technology in my DNA as well. And so, luckily, I've been able to tap back into that meditation and yoga and things like that. And I have to practice every single day, every morning. I do my salutation to the sun. I do my meditation. I practice my kriya because I know I'm going to have a much more productive day that day with the 8 hours that I have to work. So I love it. Absolutely love it. I think this is a perfect moment, Suchi. I'm going to call you that because I feel like very familiar with you now already. I think this is a perfect moment. I always ask all my guests to bring me a couple of songs that are soundtracks to their lives. And I notice here you've chosen a song called Catch and Release. It's by Matt Simons. I hope it is Simons and not Simmons. Tell me why have you chosen this song, and then what does it mean to you?
So this song actually was a big part of the season of the burnout. Like if there was a book on my life, there would be a chapter called "Burnout is Not a Badge of Honor," and this would be the soundtrack of that chapter. It was until then, Jarvis, you will not understand. I have done well in the external world, but I have never ever checked in with myself. I've literally never stopped to say, oh, why am I behaving this way? Why am I angry? Why am I, getting triggered by certain things? Why do I limit myself? None of it. And then when I did start to look within, not that I knew where I was going, but I had a commitment with myself. I said, that's it. Like, this is a chapter to get to know me. If I don't want to show up for myself, why should anyone in the world, why should
Yeah,
people
so
show up
true.
for me? And this song, what happened was, just through my rituals, I discovered the song, and the song is basically embodying the power of solitude, the power of sitting with yourself, the power of catching and then releasing. Like, what is the beauty in the surrender? What is the beauty in trusting in the process? But you show up and then you believe that, what is meant for you will never miss you. I think it felt like a hug. It felt like, even if the world made me feel like I was going through a diseased moment, I was being isolated with my own, discomfort in where I was, the song felt like, don't worry, like we know each other, like we're hanging out, this is pretty cool, don't worry about it. I think it felt like the things that I needed in a person maybe, and I didn't know how to articulate all of it, so it really stayed in that chapter. And anytime I listen to it, I go back. It's like a perfume or something, it takes me back to that chapter. So that's why it's been very instrumental. It felt like a hug at a time I really needed that kind of a hug.
Lovely. Let's give you a hug right now then. So this is Catch and Release by Matt Simons. Enjoy. Lovely. What a beautiful song. It's so nice to, for those of you that are obviously listening and can't see us, it was so lovely to see Suchi with a big smile on her face. You could see her kind of beaming and her heart opened up. And I mean, what was the immediate feeling? You clearly you're good at expressing your feelings. What did you feel just then to hear that in that moment?
To be honest, I think nothing but love for that version of me, because it's just great to see where I've come. It's great to be in this conversation, to have seen that girl walk that walk, because I know what she felt and I knew what that song did for her. But today, to use that as a celebration, I think nothing but love. I just feel this, like I'm consumed by love for me. I'm so consumed by love for being here. So I think that's really what I feel. It's just beaming out of my teeth and nose and eyes, and I feel it.
It is very, very infectious, and I would agree. You do absolutely ooze with love. It's beautiful to feel and see. So, look, let's go to a quick commercial break because I think this is the perfect moment. Because what I want to do after the break is I want to get into, your life-changing moments has meant that you've become an author, a teacher, maybe even a guru, may I say it, with your Indian roots. I mean, guru only means teacher, right? So I don't mean that in the old paradigm sense. I mean it very much in the new paradigm sense. But let's come back to that. We'll go to commercial break. We'll come back and you can tell me what you're up to now, what's happening with the book, what people are getting from it, all that exciting stuff.
Literally. Love it.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, Suchi, let's talk about your not only your life-changing moment, but what it's actually driven you to engage with now. Like you've seemed to have got a new purpose, you've got a new role in life. Maybe you've found your soul purpose, maybe instead of your role, which could be interesting. But just tell me about what inspired the book. Let's just talk about that and that this kind of phase in your evolution.
So, Jarvis, I told you I took a sabbatical and I called it Project Suchi. And honestly, the whole success story for that sabbatical to mean what it did and to make that pain the purpose that it has become today was a consistency. I basically looked at it like I was building a product, and the product was myself. And so I was treating me like an external being to myself. And it became like a lot of your own limitations, things that are maybe your childhood traumas that I've never addressed, my let's say triggers that I've always blamed the outside world for, but I've realized that they are my own inner beliefs that don't necessarily serve me in becoming my highest and bestest self. Looking at ideologies that needed to shift or had to be rewired, like rest is productive or failure is not, doesn't make me a loser. It means I tried. Like a lot of those things are cultural wiring as well. I went into a very interesting journey and I went into deeper and deeper modalities as I started to see and have more aha moments. So I started, but the bottom line, if you ask me, was I took my Outlook calendar because just being very corporate. And I said to myself that, I'm going to schedule meetings with me. And if I was scheduling a meeting with Jarvis, I wouldn't cancel unless I wasn't well. So if I kept canceling that, oh yeah, I said I'm going to go to the gym at this time and it happens to be a meeting in my calendar, or I'm going to go meet my coach at so and so time and it's a meeting in my calendar, I just wanted to tell myself that in order for me to build the product, I have to show up. And just because if I think that it's just me, I'm going to go for a 5 a.m. walk with myself and go to the same coffee shop and read a physical newspaper. I kind of wanted to build that routine
Love
to.
it. So you book time in with for yourself with you.
Yes.
Love that.
And I'll take it to an even more weirder place because, it was kind of a dark chapter in the beginning, like a couple of months. I didn't understand how I got there, but I also didn't understand where am I going. So it felt very scary that, why me? Like I had this more victim mindset of like, why is this happening to me? And like, no one is getting me. And I had this urge to run back, to just go back to Schlumberger and be like, hey, I don't want the sabbatical. Like I'm ready to come back. So at some point, I kind of noticed that there was this sensation of over worrying, over sabotaging yourself. So I even set a slot in the calendar every day to worry. And I told myself, yo, you're going to worry from 9 to 11, because there were days I would just spiral. So when I kind of began that ritual, I added 2 hours for me to just sit and worry, like think about the worst things you want to. And then at 11, I had to go to a personal training, like a weight training session with a coach. So I was like, I have to get up, I have to clean up, and I can't dump that shit on that person. So I've got a different energy. And then the endorphins from the workout help you switch out. And I calm myself and say, tomorrow, 9 o'clock, you get to worry again. So it's all good. You can definitely. Like, oh shit, I have this pain and I have to be reveling in it. So I started to embrace the difficult emotions, but I just didn't sit in them forever. I kind of started to find ways to disrupt them and yet acknowledge them. Fast forward, like 10 to 12 months later, I started to have this feeling of, in my opinion, that was feeling zen, but I haven't yet decided when am I going back to corporate. I have now come into a version of myself that there was this lightness, there was this clarity, there was this, feeling that I haven't had. Even though I felt like I was crushing life, I've always been restless. I've always been like, what's the next thing I'm gonna do? Like you hit some milestone and you're like, 5 minutes, yeah, great. And then what's the next thing? So I How the hell am I feeling this sensation of zen when I don't even know what I'm ready to do next yet? And I realized that at that moment that success needs a bit of an expansion and happiness is actually an inner job. So there is the outer job that allows you to feel connected in the world and purposeful and meaningful, but there is an inner job that you need to first be connected with yourself. That see other people, but you forget to see your people too. Like you're a people, like you're the first people to connect with. And I looked back at the journey and I thought, why do we call it mental health? Why is it not mental fitness? I mean, that's the dynamic you have with your body. Nobody tells you to show up for your physical body after you're sick or after you're diagnosed with something. It's like, I understand that, if I walked every day or if I like took the right supplements or if I ate better or if I went to the gym, I am going to see visually a progress in how I can show up for myself over a period of time. And the mind is just behaving like a muscle, right? If I repeat an action for like 60 days or 90 days, it becomes a new way of being. So I was like, I'm gonna actually do something about it where it's gonna be beyond me, and I wanna build a mental fitness brand. And I wanna bring in tools and resources that allow this to become a lifestyle for like how it has become for myself. And I wanna meet people where they are, meaning I wanna meet the past version of me, the current version of me, and who I will keep becoming. And that's how the brand came to be. And I called it Inside and Out because I realized both. There is work that you do for your outer world, and there's work for your inner world. So I want it to be inside and out. It's got to be both. And what I thought is, you build tools and products that, let's say, eventually I'd love to have an app because I think the idea of people doing it at their own pace, even if I am still using devices, it still becomes your private time where you're checking in. So it's like I meet a person where they're at, but then I sort of trick you into spending time with yourself. So I eventually want to go there, but because I also do a lot of agile development, I was like, I want to start with a digital book, then I wanted to start with the physical version of the book. So let it be that you're just bringing in the practice of people checking in with themselves before you check in with the world. You just create that sense of being, because then I stole this Mac slogan where it's, they say once you go Mac, you can't go back. I'm like, go within, you can't digress because I get to know things about myself that I can't unknow. So I'm like, once you start walking the path, you're not checking out. You're definitely now coming into knowing things that you're like, oh, I'm never going to subscribe to that, or I'm reframing this, or I would like to work a little bit on that aspect. Because you notice the newer versions of you are, they're lighter, they're more about tapping into the higher version of yourself. They allow you to like walk into doors that you didn't give permission to yourself. So that's how the whole brand story began. It became like my pain to purpose story, but I felt this desire to build something bigger than myself, but to meet people where they're at. Like it met the Suchi when she needed it. And now I still use the products myself because you're constantly evolving, right? You're constantly growing. And so it feels like a check-in with yourself should be a lifestyle ritual. That's how the book came into being.
Wow, that's amazing. It's amazing. And anybody that's listening out there that's inspired by this and would like to tap into this, what seems to be a beautiful process. You can go to joininsideandout.com. It's joininsideandout.com. You can obviously connect with Suchi and get the product. I'm just looking at it now. It's a beautiful website. It just sounds so inspiring. Thank you for that. Listen, we've only got 10 minutes left on the show, and I want to get your second song in. I think actually, this second song, Raw by Katy Perry, is absolutely your anthem because, the journey that you've personally been through, the light and love that you shine today, deserves a roar. So just tell me about this song. Why is this song important to you? I mean, I'm guessing why, but I'd love to hear it from you.
I think just the whole idea of taking something that felt very much in the unknown, felt very alienated, very, very isolated and experienced. And you could go down that rabbit hole and just get lost with life and be someone who's always reacting. And then there's the other version where you bet on yourself and you're like, look, I got this gift and I'm making life work for me. And then to be where you're at, it's like you freaking like woke up from some sort of a sleep and you just roar. And you cannot be denied. And I think the song, no matter what state of mind I am in, it somehow wakes up something inside me. And I think the way the words are, the way that it sounds, the way the background beats make you feel, it just makes me think of this is exactly what Inside and Out, this is exactly what my own journey has felt like to me. And this is what betting on yourself feels like, a roar.
Love it, love it, love it, love it. So this is Raw by Katy Perry. We'll be back with Suchi just after this, and we're going to do some quick fire questions after this round because we've only got a few minutes left. So enjoy this as much as we will. Ah, lovely, lovely, lovely. I bet everyone, I can just imagine everyone dancing around to that song. It's one of those songs we play all the time in the car with my kids. We love it.
I love it. I think I just love this part of the whole interview. Bringing in these songs, just so freaking cool.
Thank you. So look, we have got literally 4 minutes left. I want to do 2 minutes with you. We're going to play out with a song that we always do at the end of the show. So you need to be super, super quick. So a few questions for you. A habit you'll never compromise on.
Journaling.
Okay, perfect. Journaling. A belief about success you had to unlearn.
Doesn't stop at just building financial bank account and emotional bank account.
Love that. Love that. The feeling bank account. Love it. Love it. Love it. Okay. The most underrated emotion to master.
Anger.
Yeah. That's a tough one, isn't it? Let's just talk about anger for a minute because my teacher always taught me. I trained with a female shaman and yoga teacher for about 15 years.
Wow.
And she taught me that anger was very, very, very useful because it makes you completely upright. But it's whether you're able to master what comes after that, right?
Exactly.
So it's a powerful emotion. Okay, here we go. One last question. One deposit that listeners can make today to their inner bank account.
Choose 1 minute of today to sit with yourself, whatever that means. Doing nothing or going for a walk or walking barefoot at a park or maybe getting in like a workout if you prefer. 1 minute of today to check in with yourself.
I love
That's
it.
a deposit. Yes.
I love it, love it, love it. Now listen, everyone, go and check out Suchi's website, joininsideout.com. Joininsideandout.com. It's a really fun website. Go and have a look. It's the journals there and all the kinds of stuff. Listen, thank you so much. You've been an absolute inspiration. I'd love to have you on the show again. I feel like we are soul brothers and sisters, so I'm definitely going to be connecting with you some more. Thank you very, very much for joining us.
My God, such an honor. And I had so much fun, Jarvis. And I had so much fun looking at the person who has been moderating it as well. I want to say thank you so much. Your expressions were so encouraging at moments that I probably needed it. But this was so much fun. I can't wait to be back again. And thank you. Thank you so much for allowing
What a
me.
lovely soul you are. I wish there were more people in the world like you. And the person behind the scenes is Johan. Shout out to Johan, my producer, and also the owner of the whole radio show. So we are blessed. We're going to play out with Save the World by yours truly, featuring Rita Mora. This song is to raise money for Greta Thunberg's most affected people and children around the world. So we've got 1 minute to play it out. Please put it on your playlist. Suchi, thank you. Johan, thank you. Love you all. See you next Monday. Have a great week.